It's Tuesday, 19th of January. It's time to get your grin on with Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm host Ace, and joining me are Rhodes.
Hello.
Winx.
Hello.
And Nikki.
Hello.
We've changed names in Discord again, which has thrown the order out of whack. So, Winx, you're not going to be last as we talk about the games we've been playing this past week. Rhodes, take us away.
Didn't expect that one, not gonna lie. Played some more Demon Souls. I know I finished it the last time I was here, but just figured I'd finish it again because PS5 ain't got any other games, has it? So may as well put it to use, get some value for money. But anyway, it's the same.
Exclusives, woo!
We love exclusives. I don't know. I mean, it's this or Assassin's Creed, and I know which one I'd rather play again, and it's not Assassin's Creed. But no, I've been playing that. I've been playing some Warframe. That's something, isn't it? Don't know why I said I'd review this for you, Ace, because...
You're not enjoying being a cyborg ninja thingy?
Genuinely, the most miserable I've ever been in my entire life is when I am the cyborg ninja in Warframe. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why it's going on. All I do is run around and smash the circle button, and nothing else matters because everything just dies. I don't know. I really don't know what's going on. Every now and then, like, something's like, you have a new mission. I'm like, oh, great. Another one. Cool. When does it end? Please. Someone end my misery.
I mean, it's a online service game, so it's never going to end.
But I wish it would. Can't they do a Warframe 2? Warframe 1.5? I mean, a 1.1.
Technically, Warframe's kind of like the spiritual successor to Crysis, so...
Explains a lot. It really does.
I've gotten the game in my head wrong. You're talking about Warframe, not Warface. Fuck!
Oh, I've just insulted Crysis for no reason. Deary me.
No, wait, hang on, no, back up. Sorry, now that I actually know what you're talking about, you don't like being the futuristic cyborg ninjas in Warframe. They're awesome.
It's just a bit boring, isn't it? It's a bit samey. You just go in, like, you just land on a level and stab things and leave the level. That's it.
Okay, to be fair, I can appreciate that it is a bit grindy, but the actual sort of core gameplay is fairly quite cool. You know, bouncing around, stabby, shoot.
It is the absolute meaning of okay, I think. Like, whenever I try and play an online game, like the versus mode, I guess you would say it is. It's just me. I just sit in the lobby on my own. I'm like, is this game dead? Like, am I dead? Like, what's going on here? And why is no one playing? I thought this game was popular. Like, come on, please.
Maybe they don't have crossplay. Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, shit, yeah. That's a good point. No way. Surely not. I mean, there's no games on the PS5, so what else are they playing?
Assassin's Creed.
No, I'd rather play Warframe. Warframe's better than Assassin's Creed. There's no birds. What else have I been playing away from Warframe? I've been playing some City Game Studio. I really like it. It's a really nice game. I think I mentioned this last week. It's pretty much the same as all the other games of the genre, but it's a bit more stuff to do, more like companies to fight with, more like space to buy. It's very nice. It's very chill. Like, you can just sort of sit back and just enjoy it. You don't have to use your brain all that much. And I've been playing Colonials Program, which I have reviewed for Game Grin, so I won't say too much about it. It's a really nice game. It makes you thunk quite a bit, especially when you get towards the end. It gets a bit fucking hard, I'm not going to lie, but it's nice. Very basic in like how it looks, but don't let it fool you. Like, it's quite challenging. I was quite surprised because it's easy. Like, the first hour, you're just like, this is a piece of piss. I could have done this when I was a newborn child. And then the game's like, haha, I'm hard now. And you're like, oh no, I can't beat it anymore. I'm dumb. Sweet. Yeah, that's all I've been playing this week. Apparently, I hate all the video games I play.
Okay, Winx, what about yourself?
Just a few bits and bobs this week. Nothing serious, didn't commit to anything really. I did play a bit of Crossy Road a bit recently, and it was a lot of fun for the 10 minutes I got to play with it, but it just made me miss the arcades, because there's an arcade version of Crossy Road where you can play with up to 4 people, and just was reminiscing about the before days. And yeah, it's a nice little throwback, but I kind of just wished there was a local or online multiplayer version of it, or at least on consoles, because if the makers of that game have already made a console game, or they brought the Pac-Man game to consoles, so I'm just thinking, like, why did they ever not do it with Crossy Road? So that, and also dipping my toes back into Cyberpunk again, just trying to do as many side missions around in and around Night City, and flatlining people with my silenced 50 cal sniper rifle, as you do. And then again, nothing really that much interesting in the game, other than finding, I found a sentient gun called Skippy, which was cute and cool, but admittedly I didn't really use them because I was too busy seeing how much I can get away with shooting a heavy sniper rifle with a silencer in like a crowd or like a warehouse full of bad people, to see what the NPC, what the AI will do. I think that's what I've been doing with that game, just testing it, just seeing what the hell the AI will actually do. And I guess finally, I played Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, which I am not a fan. I loved the first game on the PlayStation 1. I'm probably going to go into a mini rant about this particular game because of the obscene loading times and what seems to be like a trend of a lot of revival games or like remakes or even just any sort of game that's supposed to be simple, like CTR or Mario Kart, where they'll go heavy on customization, which is fine, but if the game can't load the assets in time for each type of vehicle and skin and wheels that weren't in the original, then it just kind of bogs down the whole experience. It's like it becomes a thing where not only are you waiting for other people to get ready to actually join in the race, but I just miss the days where everyone gets this like a bog standard cart, you pick a character and you just go. I wish it was that simple, but it just takes forever. And then by the time that you do finish that, there are loading screens, which, again, like they take up to like maybe 30 seconds to a minute, which is way too long, especially when you're around people, friends and family. And by the time that the track is loaded, your interest is gone. And every track just takes another minute and a half a minute or a minute just to load. So I think I've had a theme of just being angry at video games this week.
Doesn't like video games. You're video games. I'm hesitant to ask, Nikki.
Well, I mean, are gacha games video games?
I haven't even been playing video games.
No, I haven't been playing video games. I've been gambling. No, look, you know how this goes by now. I'm addicted to every gacha under the sun. At the time of recording, the day of recording, Princess Connect RE Dive has just come out as well. So I was trying that whilst having dinner. Looks cool. I suppose more on that next week. The only real big game that I've sort of played in the last week I've just realized you said you were hesitant to ask if I like games. I'm literally about to rant about a game. Because I forgot that I finally decided to try the Uncharted collection. The only Uncharted game I've ever played is the one that was on the Vita. It wasn't great, but it was on the Vita. And I've seen a lot of Uncharted 4, and I've seen a lot of people rave about it, and the gameplay looks quite good. So I was like, well, do you know what? I should probably, out of the big PS4 exclusives that I never got around to playing, seeing as I'm not going to get a PS5 anytime soon. I was like, well, I might as well get around to playing those. So I thought Uncharted is a, you know, it's a narrative driven game. I should probably play the whole of them for the story. I can probably speed through the first three relatively quick, you know, if I'm just focusing on the story. And that turns out to be true, because an hour and a half into the first game, I'm already a third of the way through. It's not aged well. It's I can understand if you were playing that for the first time on the PS3, how like amazing it would have been. Kind of like the whole Shenmue argument, in that like at the time Shenmue was amazing, but now it's kind of like, eh. Yeah, Uncharted in the Uncharted collection is, it's kind of crap, honestly.
Voice acting by my good friend Nolan North is great.
He never shuts up. Literally, he never, like, it's like, you'll grab a rock and he's like, oh, gotta be careful. It's like, yeah, I know. You climb, you do a bit more climbing. Oh, it's like, shut up. Like, he's constantly talking. But, like, from no, it's, I'm kind of slightly intrigued in the narrative. I'm definitely going to see it through. Again, I'm only about a third of the way through. The shooting is terrible. Even at 60 FPS, it's not great. I'm playing on normal and enemies are just ridiculously strong. The amount of damage they can take, I'm constantly out of ammo. I'm just kind of like, I'm a bit baffled by it. I don't know if maybe it's because I'm going back to it and I never experienced it at the time. But, you know, against the games of like today, like I can see where a lot of them have drawn influence, but my God, it does not hold up as well. It kind of reminds me a lot of Kingdom Hearts 1. Like, if you go back and replay Kingdom Hearts 1, yeah, that game is terrible. Like, it's just terrible. It does not play well at all. The second you get to the second game, though, it's like, oh, this is actually a competent game. So I'm expecting that maybe that's kind of, maybe I'll get to Uncharted 2 and it's like, oh, okay, they figured out how to do this shit. So yeah, kind of in it for the long haul. See if I can actually get all three, and then I guess I'll maybe renew my PlayStation Plus for like 1 month just to play the fourth game. Because apparently I have something like 200 PlayStation Plus games, and I didn't even realize. But yeah, that and Gacha. Lots and lots of Gacha. I'm so glad I don't put money into these games, because I really would be poor.
Okay, myself, I'll just have a quick swig from my Voodoo Ranger Hazy IPA. Rhodes knew that was coming.
Maybe you got.
I've still got 3 cans left. You got this for another 3 weeks.
Oh, is it just all the same flavor?
Yes.
Wait, you have one a week?
Yes, I have one a week.
Do you just swig them during the podcast to get your advertising in? What are you doing?
I'm not a big drinker, but yeah, it seems, at least in the UK, Voodoo Ranger only sell the Hazy IPA.
Translation.
12, 24, and 48 packs.
God, so you're saying that you can only tolerate the podcast if you're drinking?
Well, I ran out of Bacardi. yes. Anyway, away from the talk about beer. Been playing a bit of Heat Signature because obviously the kids are at home. I've got them at home learning all the time. So if I have a spare 5 minutes, Heat Signature's to nip into. To do a mission or two, just go into some spaceship and beat everyone unconscious with a giant wrench. In the game, not
lockdown making it that hard for the kids, mate, is it? Jesus.
I don't have a giant wrench. No Man's Sky, I think I've reached the end of what I want to play on that. I've reset the galaxy three times. So I've technically reached the end 3 times. I've got a bit of a base. I've built it up a little bit. The whole reason I installed it on the Xbox Series X is because the next gen update said that you could do bigger bases, and that intrigued me, but I can't be bothered. I've unlocked all the parts that I fancy unlocking. I haven't unlocked some of the wood ones. I've unlocked none of the concrete ones, just the metal stuff, metal and glass. and I've got no missions to do. And go to the space stations and get a mission, which is kill X sentinels or X creatures, or take a photo, i.e. screenshot, on a toxic planet or whatever planet they decide. It's just, I'm not doing anything. I'm just logging onto the game. I'll send my freighters off. I'll sell some items, and that's about it. I spent an hour yesterday just wandering around my planet trying to find one creature, because I'd scanned 8 out of 9 creatures that are on the planet.
We didn't have a good week, did we? This is like game grown.
Therapy hour here at Game Grown.
I had a great time in my gachas, but I thought best I'd not go on about them for the umpteenth time.
Yeah, I had a good time with Demon Souls, but I just don't think anyone wants to hear about me and talk about Demon Souls again.
Okay, I have played games that I have enjoyed, though.
Please,
which
please.
Is why I left those to last. Yakuza Kiwami, I've gone back to that first time since November, and whenever I do play it, I'm really enjoying it. I like how Majima's chasing me around the place, and the session I had the other day, he started hiding in things, so I need to play hide and seek with him. He invited me into a bar. Well, someone invited me into a bar, and it was him as the bartender, so that ended in a fight. We went bowling, which did not end in a fight because we went bowling. I really like that character. He's great. I've been back on the VR because I've not been playing that very much, so I've got a game to review. Well, a game and a DLC, because Synth Rider's new DLC has recently come out, Synthwave Essentials 2. So they sent us a code for that, and for the base game, I decided, since we didn't have a review for the base game, I'll review that as well. And I'm sure everyone knows about Beat Saber. You have 2 laser swords. I played a bit of that as well. And you just wave your arms around, cutting these blocks in whatever way the arrow says. Synth Riders, you have to move your entire body because you've got to reach for these orbs, and you've got to make contact with your controllers or your hands, because you don't have a sword or anything. You've got to physically hit these orbs that are racing towards you. And it's a lot more fun than Beat Saber, and has better music than Beat Saber, in my opinion. And you can, straight out the box, you can put custom songs onto Synth Riders. You don't have to do any trickery or side loading or anything. You just download this app onto your PC, and you can't load any song. You've got a selection that have been made by other people. In theory, it should be possible to make your own tracks, but it's not procedurally generated, from what I can tell. These where the orbs appear and the walls and all that stuff that you got to dodge, that's all programmed in by people, which is why there's only specific custom songs. You can't just load your favorite playlist from Spotify into it, unfortunately. I've got some Transformers of the Movie songs I want to play.
So Linkin Park.
There's one Linkin Park song. I swear to God, one Linkin Park song. I was looking down this list and, it's about right. and it says what difficulties are available, and the only one available is hard.
I'll only pick it up if we've got Gregorian chants.
Okay, I don't know the names of any of those, so I can't confirm or deny if those exist on there. And yeah, as I mentioned, Beat Saber, I played like 2 songs. I was like, yeah, this is kind of boring. I'm going back on Synth Riders. Oh, and I suppose I did try to play Cyberpunk 2077. I stopped playing last time because the mission glitched. I was supposed to talk to this person who was semi-conscious on the ground, and the prompt wasn't coming up, so I quit the game. And then I went to play it the other day, and the game just straight up crashed. Speaking of Cyberpunk 2077, CD Projekt Red's apologized for Cyberpunk 2077. They released a 5-minute video saying that they wanted to have honest and direct communication with gamers, and there were internal struggles, and also it wasn't our fault, it was some of the team's fault.
Shall we correct that to not that CD Projekt Red have apologized? It's more appropriate to say that the CEO has tried to throw the blame onto everyone but maybe the people who are actually responsible.
Yeah, and part of it even seems to blame sites for reviewing it on the embargo, because the review codes were sent out on the 1st of December, and it was again released on the 10th of December, and console review codes were sent out on the 8th of December. I wasn't aware that console review codes were sent out at all.
I was of the opinion that the only reviews that were out there were high-end PCs. I thought I watched a video of someone in the games industry say that they were expecting a console review code because they were told they were getting one, and then were told to prep for a PC review code.
Yeah, it seemed like, because from what we've been able to piece together, from what we've seen and people have said, what appears to have happened is they held back the console codes. They sent most major outlets a PC code and basically said, like, get ready to have a powerful PC. Also, you can't use your own footage, you got to use ours. But when it came to some of like the really high profile influencers, if you will, they sent them graphics cards along with a code for the game. So a lot of the big streamers, they were basically given the equipment to run it in quote unquote the ideal state.
That's not suspicious.
Yeah, that's not buttering them up at all with, well, how much are graphics cards? Over 1,000?
If CD Projekt Red sent me a new hard drive that I'm still missing, I'll review their game. I'll still give it a 4 out of 10, but I'll review it.
They seemed really adamant that the PC version was the best version. They constantly were saying, like, I think at one point he said, despite good reviews on the PC, like, the other versions, you know, they were terrible, but the PC version was, like, the best. Like, yeah, technically it was the best version, but in the same way that, like, I assume a FIFA 21 is the best FIFA game of 2020. It's like, it doesn't mean anything. It means you released a game.
Yeah, it's a stupid point as well, because like, I don't want to sound like that guy, because I don't really care. I don't have a dog in the fight, but games generally run better on a PC because they are more powerful if you have the right tools for it. You know, standing there going, hey, this game runs better on PC is stupid, considering that it's not about them running better on PC. It's about how poorly they run elsewhere. Like, no one's sat there going, oh, I hate how well this runs somewhere else. They're going, I hate that this doesn't run on the thing I have.
Around the time that this video was released, Jason Scheer, a reporter for Bloomberg, released a article where he'd spoken to about 20 mostly former CD Projekt Red developers. And he tweeted some of the points of the article. And I forget who it was, but a member of the CD Projekt Red management replied to some of the points that he brought up in the tweets. And in this rebuttal, one of his points was, well, the game got 9s and 10s from lots of sites, and then went on to explain that the game was buggy on all platforms and still needed work. That's not the win you think it is.
It's worth pointing out that was the CEO.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That was it. For reference, we scored it 6.5 out of 10.
It was going to be lower, wasn't it, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, I think the person who reviewed it, Blake, he was of the opinion that he'd scored it too high. so he lowered it because he didn't want the rest of the team to say, oh, you scored it too high. But given what, given the content of his review, it, the score, 6.5 fit.
Yeah, it's also just one more thing to add about that sort of back and forth that happened on Twitter is that once the person had responded to Jason Shire's article, Jason Shire actually pointed out that when he approached CD Projekt Red for comments, they declined every single time. And he kind of found it hilarious that the person decided to respond via Twitter.
He did respond to them saying, if you'd like to have a talk, I'm perfectly open to, and was ignored. It seems that this guy was, the CEO was sicking gamers TM on Jason Shire, which
works every time.
Which apparently has happened before by other people or him.
Something that came out of this as well is, as part of the sort of a quote apology, was an updated roadmap of kind of where they're going, what they're going to do with Cyberpunk, which, you know, confirmed what we already knew in that there'd be a big patch, 1.1 patch by the end of the month. This, for some, apparently it's coming out like end of this week, I read earlier, but I've not seen anything official. But at the time of recording, it's not out, and it might be out soon, so watch the space. And then patch 1.2 coming out sometime in February. What caused people to kick off on Twitter is they've delayed the next-gen console update. That's been pushed back to the later half of 2021. But on this roadmap, free DLC is before the next-gen console upgrade, and that's what it took for the fans to get angry.
Not a broken, janky-ass game. Yes, so they did release a graphic, so no firm dates, but yeah, free next-gen console update is closer to 2022 than it is to 2021. Much closer. Free DLCs is, what would you say, April, May, June, maybe?
It seems a silly thing that they've done with that, though, because as far as I'm aware, the console, like the next gen releases, never had a release date, so it feels like they're pushing it back, but there wasn't really there to be pushed back. They're just sort of, they're almost using it as like, we're pushing this back because we're trying so hard to fix this, and it's like, well, you never really said it was coming out anyway.
I thought it was expected towards the start of this year, or perhaps I was reading into something.
I don't think they ever gave like a confirmed statement. I think they might have said they aimed for the first half of 2021, but never anything like concrete.
They're definitely kind of shooting themselves in the foot at this point.
Yeah. They need to let the PR team PR and not the CEO get heated on Twitter. Like, it doesn't work for any company and it's not going to work for them.
Look, it worked for the President of the United States of America. Oh, wait.
They should probably heed their own advice and just wait and release it when it's ready. Wish I didn't.
Well, something else that wasn't quite ready. Take-Two were in talks to buy Codemasters, and then EA swooped into things, and everyone got a bit confused by all the press releases coming out. But Take-Two have announced that they are pulling out of the Codemasters acquisition. The deal that they put forward has lapsed and they've decided not to renew it. So if someone's going to buy it, it's looking closer to EA's court than Take-Two's, because Take-Two left the court. Terrible analogy.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what EA or Take-Two would do with Codemasters if they had them. But I mean, I could look pessimistically and be like, I don't know, they could riddle it with microtransactions, but I think they could both companies, I guess, would have a space for Codemasters in their repertoire.
I was hoping Take-Two would acquire them so they could improve the driving in the next GTA.
Oh my god, yeah.
But no, it looks like EA are getting another sports, and that's all that Codemasters do. They do driving games.
EA used to own the F1 license, didn't they? 2003, I think, was the last one they had. So the way EA are, they love just having like all sports licenses. And honestly, just buying Codemasters gets them that. And I wouldn't even be shocked if like that was a big reason they were doing it. It's just put another string in their bow of bloody, oh, we got another sport franchise. We can add this to all the others we've got.
Is EA the Disney of gaming?
The Disney of like sports games. Because they've got what? They've got like football, NFL, hockey, UFC, Formula American One soon. Football. Yeah, they've got two American football games, I think, because they do the Madden and they used to do
college
football one. Yeah, I don't know if they still do it, but like they used to do the NBA.
Take Two now.
they did it alongside Take Two until the NBA went. Exclusive. There we go. Mm. So it's clear that EA just love the sports franchise, which makes sense because sports fans love video games. Like, they love playing the game of their sports. And you think now, like, if you're British and you're playing a sports game, pretty much every single one you boot up, you're going to be seeing that EA logo every time.
I know that when I play Tiddlywinks 21, it's an EA sports game.
I wouldn't be shocked if there was a Tiddlywinks game. There's definitely an annual handball game. So, yeah,
who owns handball as a license? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I've got a friend who gets handball as a gift every Christmas because I hate him.
It was infamously hard to crack that, or, you know, the people who crack games don't, you know, want to crack it, I suppose, but.
I just don't. I mean, who's begging for a handball crack?
People who literally don't want to spend any money on games.
We're seeing it. It's the Eco Software. Yeah, publishers, Big Ben Interactive. That's the publisher of handball.
That's like the British, most British sounding publisher or developer.
They're French. they're known as of last year, they're known as Nacon, NACON. Don't think I've ever heard of them.
Nothing's more British than a non-British company taking Big Ben as a title. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of French, let's move on to someone who's French-Canadian. How do I like that? Elias Tufour has joined the crew of The Captain Is Dead. What that means to everyone who doesn't know that name or the game title is Adam Jensen from Deus Ex, Mankind Divided and Human Revolution is going to be on Captain Is Dead. The Captain Is Dead, an upcoming strategy game where it's basically Star Trek, but the captain dies right at the start of the game.
It's a neat concept, being like a red coat, just like you're there to save the day or just be expendable. And the trailer's pretty cute too. It's like the voice actor was doing various impressions of Star Trek characters. It just looked really interesting. I was kind of interested.
It's a quick one, but I just wanted to talk about more work for Elias Tufour.
That's a good pronunciation there. I like that.
Thank you. Probably pronouncing it wrong. fun fact, he was actually in an episode of Star Trek Discovery as well. So
yeah.
He was in Star Trek before being in a Star Trek game. Star Trek style game, sorry. Our next news story. Yeah, I can't think of one. There we go. I don't know if he's a bachelor, but you know who is a bachelor? There we go. Story
of season. Get out of here.
Highness of Olive Town. Coming out in March, they've released two trailers, one of The Bachelors and one of The Bachelorettes. We've got Damon, Ralph, Emilio, Iori, Jack as The Bachelors, and The Bachelorettes are Rena, Blair, Laura, Lynn, and Bridget. So unlike the remake, which was the previous story of Seasons on the Switch, this one has got a bunch of characters for you to romance. It's not quite clear if you can romance the same gender as you, but we can hope.
I'm all in for Bridget because she has a cow called Catherine, if I remember correctly. And that's all I took out of the trailer, was that this woman had a cow called Catherine. I was like, well, I like cows and I like Catherine's. So
I'm standing Rena, the party loving anthropologist. Have any of you played the Story Seasons / Harvest Moon games?
A long time ago, before Stardew Valley made them all irrelevant.
Well, in this one, you don't start with your granddad's farm. You start with a tent and have to build up your farm.
Have there been any recent games where you start some kind of social area in a tent and have to build that up? Does anyone know anything like that that's recently come out?
I think I've won last year in March. I can't remember the title of it.
No, you're misremembering. You misremember. There's been nothing like that.
I think it was smothered by Doom Eternal, so I don't think it was anything massive. It definitely didn't sell 30 million copies or anything.
I want to say Creature Roads.
Leave me out of this, please. Thank you.
What did you call Roads?
A creature. Goodness. <Ooh. laughs> Ooh, look at it.
Ooh, faux pas.
Winks, you're off the pod, I'm sorry.
I agree.
Well, my kids absolutely loved Story of Seasons, the previous one, Mineral Town. So I'm definitely going to have to get this, because if I don't, I'll just... There's an advert for a new Story of Seasons. Can we get it?
Is that, I don't think that's your impersonation of your kids?
Yes. I don't think I can put up with that from March until December.
Are you sure you weren't just like, it's not just you trying to convince yourself through the mirror to get Story of Seasons with that one?
it did receive a positive review on GameGrid.com from a certain me.
There's a trend here.
Well, something that I'm sure will not review well is Ubisoft are developing a story-driven open-world Star Wars game. I, of course, was being sarcastic. That will get all the awards.
Do Ubisoft win awards?
I mean, Star Wars wins awards.
I can't. Look, I don't like Star Wars. I don't like Ubisoft. This is the worst thing I've ever had announced to me. Like, it's honestly just... I'm depressed.
I know Valt was what brought up... It was immediately put off by open world.
I wonder what that means, because usually in Star Wars, it's just like you travel to one world and it's just that biome. It's just a sand planet. It's just a forest planet. Hopefully there's some biodiversity in it, but it would be kind of funny if you rock up in this open world and it's like, all right, you're in a desert now.
I thought you were chanting those biomes off to the tune of Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba then. It's just a sand planet. It's just a forest planet.
It's just the lager planet. It should have been hazy IPA from Voodoo Ranger.
Is the Division? Division's like sort of open world, isn't it? Isn't like small hub worlds?
No, Division's open world. It's open world and then instance for mission areas, but quite freely with. It's a bit of an odd one because the Division is technically an online game, so
I took a look at the developers behind this new one, and they're also getting prepared to make an Avatar game.
Can we not talk about that?
Avatar,
based on which one?
I am pretty sure it is Avatar, like Blue Avatar, not Aang Avatar. So
James Cameron.
So Rhodes, what are you more excited for, Star Wars or Avatar?
Oh my god, I can't think of any worse combination of things. Jesus.
Is it going to be based on the universe or the first film or the second film? Or
what if it's a crossover? What if they've just left that out? Like, hey, Obi-Wan, how about you fight? I don't know the names from Avatar, I can't remember.
I mean, Obi-Wan had a ponytail when he was younger, so.
Pony one.
I mean, all Padawans have ponytails. That's the point. And then they cut them off when they're not a padded one anymore.
They cut them off when they killed them.
The thing about Avatar is they had ponytails and they like plugged them into flying.
Your mistake is thinking that I've watched Avatar.
I've not watched it. I'm going basing that off the Simpsons parody of Avatar.
I do just want to say though that like Massive Entertainment as a studio, like Division, you know, 1 and 2. Really good games. I at least from playing their games, I think they're a good developer. So I'm curious to see what they come out with. But hearing the words open world and Star Wars game together made me just go, ugh.
Maybe they'll do like a Red Dead Redemption kind of style, Western, sci-fi Western-y approach, like maybe Mandalorian. Here's hoping.
Boba Fett.
And the Knights of the Old Republic kind of open world-ish. You run around an open area and then you take a ship or a shuttle to somewhere else. I think the bigger story to me is that EA is, well, no longer has exclusive rights to Star Wars games. Lucasfilm Games has re-established itself.
It's for the best, I think. I mean, I'm not a fan of Star Wars, as I've just made clear there, but I think one company having the exclusive rights to a franchise is never a good thing. And from what I understand, they seemingly only managed to put out one, maybe two good Star Wars games with the Jedi Fallen Order and the racing one. I've forgotten the name of.
Podracer?
Yeah, Podracer. Squadrons. Same thing.
Oh.
Literally anything.
They did re-release Episode 1. Pod racing or whatever it was, didn't they? Well, speaking of old games that are getting revitalized, Pokemon Snap, or should I say New Pokemon Snap, which is the new title of the new Pokemon Snap game that's coming out, has got a release date. It is coming to Switch on the 30th of April and brings along over 200 Pokemon.
Pretty sure that's more than Sword and Shield had when that came out.
My God.
I did mention, say, I replied to someone on Twitter saying that it's only about 200. And they said, only? I'm like, yeah, there's like 800. If you create 800 beasts in your universe, I kind of expect 800 beasts to be in the universe. Yeah, but not every biome, every area on Earth has every species of animal.
Mm.
No, but on No Man's Sky, every area of every planet has like 8 or 9 animals.
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm very sad about Pokemon games because I just think they have so much more potential than they're ever destined to reach. Snap, indeed. I'll still buy it. Like, don't get me wrong. I'll buy it and I'll play it for 100 hours. And I'll secretly, like, in the corner of a room in my house, I'll be like, I love this and I love you, Pokemon Snap, so much. But then I'll come on the podcast and be like, oh, Pokemon Snap, what a money grab. Hey, guys. And I was like, Lord in the DLC
comes out.
Yeah, the DLC that adds, like, the rest of the Pokemon that they just didn't have time to add to begin with.
So when are we just going to get... I realize I'm going to sound exactly like the kind of people on Twitter that annoy me, but like, when are you just going to remake Gold and Silver? Or better yet, when are you just going to make a Pokemon game where you can go to more than one region?
Ooh.
Because that was
they
the thing.
They did remake Gold and Silver.
Yeah,
but they're really expensive. Even now, they're still like £50.
Ew.
Like, growing up, bearing in mind, like, I missed out. I kind of, like, skipped a load of Pokemon games. But, like, that was all I ever really wanted was to, like, go between Johto and Kanto. Like, that was peak Pokemon for me. And like Sword and Shield's okay, but it's like, eh, you've got these nice little weird features that are cool and all, but I just want to catch Pokemon. Don't really care about the I don't really care about all these IV, EV training, min maxing. I'm sorry, but I'm sorry if like if you're listening to this and you're like a hardcore Pokemon player who min maxes the Pokemon, but I don't understand. I do not understand why.
Gigantamaxing.
It's okay. It's just Mega Evolution, isn't it? That's all it is.
I don't know. I thought that it made them super giant.
It was just, yeah, that was like Game Freak sat there and went, what can we do? And then someone went, what if we just make the Pokemon bigger? And then the whole team went, yeah, just made the JPEG bigger. And the whole team went, give that man a raise.
Yeah, the only thing that like is consistent across all Pokemon games, regardless of how you feel about their Pokedex or whatever, or their graphics, the music. The music in every Pokemon game is, find me a Pokemon game that has crap music, I'll wait.
Sure, I'll just pause the recording.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, it was kind of related to music. Our main topic this week, which is not on this page. There we go, just scroll back. What is the best level or mission in a video game ever? I'll start. Casino Night Zone, Sonic the Hedgehog 2. You have a time limit of 10 minutes. I would often just be playing about on the pinball flippers and the slot machines and stuff, and, oh, you're running out of time. Oh, well, I have to start from the start again because I haven't gone past the checkpoint yet.
Sorry, I read that as, I heard that as, you have 10 minutes to discuss your favorite levels. I'm now going to spend 10 minutes talking about Sonic. I was like, what?
I'm the host, I can do that.
I take your Sonic and raise you two because Scribbles. I'm anime. The opening warehouse of Metal Gear Solid 1, it's simple. It does the job. It's that a nice kind of opening area to a game as well, that if you don't know what you're doing, you can get by. The game teaches you. But if you know what you're doing, you can have so much fun in that area whilst waiting for the elevator. There's two guards, you could just mess with them and it's great. That opening is just like, it's just solid. It's a solid, solid area. And kind of taking a bit of a liberty here, Camp Omega from Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, the best open world map ever. It's small in the grand scheme of things, but I still to this day think in terms of design, it's one of the best, if not the best, open world space in a game ever.
Oh, you've already set the bar high, haven't you? Can hell. I was going to go with the Tower of Latria from Demon's Souls. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I cannot just get this game out of my head, so I need to throw it out there. I would have said Sen's Fortress from the original from the next Souls game, Dark Souls. But seeing Tower of Latria and its beautiful, modernized, graphical, gorgeous. Oh, I'm so in love. I love it. It's so amazing. It's wonderful. Play it. Play the game. That's great. And then I love, I don't know, has anyone played the original Deus Ex game?
Yes.
Well,
I wrote about it.
Yeah, but I don't read the Game Grumps articles, Ace. I'm sorry. I'm busy doing nothing.
You just don't read Aces.
Don't read Aces. Because you release like 9 in one go and it's just, it's hard, man. It's hard. But it's the one, you know, the bit where you escape from the organization. I don't know if you remember the level. I don't know if I'm explaining it very well. I'm trying to not spoil this.
You escape from multiple people.
Yeah, I know. That's sort of thing. Like, I'm trying to figure out if there's like a name for it or something. Switching sides is what's coming up every time I look for this level. But you essentially it's just good. It was just like, it changed, like, because I didn't like first person, I don't want to say shooters, but like, I didn't like first person games at all until I played this level. And I was just like, this is really good. Like, it's really well designed. Like it just, it changed like my perception of what like a first person game could do narratively, I suppose, rather than just being a gamey game. It was like, here are all the possibilities when you're looking through the eyes of the protagonist. I was like, oh, creativity. I like this.
I've got two answers, really. I've got an objective answer and a subjective answer. Objectively, even though everyone's talked about this game to death, Mega Man X, the intro for that, the first stage for that, is one of the best first stages for any game. It takes the concept of what Super Mario Bros. Does so well in teaching you how to play the game without giving you a tutorial. You just kind of feel it out, and if you die, it's like, oh, too bad. But it elevates it, not just with gameplay, but seamlessly through narrative structure. But yeah, it's like, it will teach you about the movement and like what is an enemy and how to jump, like if you're a complete novice. But then it'll quickly show you how to do more complex things like wall jumping without, again, explicitly telling you what to do. And like learning like what is an enemy hitbox, which we just all take for granted. But, you know, hey ho. And then right at the end of the level, of the stage, the game goes, like, takes its, it demonstrates how weak you are in the grand scheme of things by throwing a boss battle that's like impossible in the end, only to be saved by someone that looks like identical to you, but like looks pretty buff. And yeah, there's a really good video by Aaron Hansen, like made like 10 years ago, that's really like deep dive, like this, it's just one of those things, one of those levels where people just always talk about it. But subjectively, my favorite level that is also, I would say that one of the best levels is the end of any Katamari game, where you get to roll up everything, like the entire cosmos, but you start from a perspective of like very, very small. Like you can pick up rats in the beginning, maybe, or even smaller objects, but it's the catharsis of like a satisfying feeling of growing a snowball out of crap and junk, like from a pea-sized thing to like a planet destroyer, I guess. It's really cathartic. And yeah, and I think that's my fave.
Good ones. I was thinking about Mega Man 7 when you were talking about Mega Man X. Mm. And I have to admit, Mega Man X is better because Mega Man 7, I didn't get that you had to wall jump, because up until that point, it hadn't been a thing in the games that I played. Mm. So there was this one section I just got so annoyed at, until I realized, oh, you slide down the walls if you're touching the wall.
I didn't know they introduced that in the seventh one. I haven't played up to the seventh one, to be honest. I've only done up to four, I think.
Ooh. We were talking about this actually off air. Pushing it a little bit here, but I want to give a nod to the police station in Resident Evil 2. That's not really a level, it's like most of the game, but it's good. It's good design. It's the most ridiculous building in the world. Like, why would anyone make a building like that? But it's great.
Which one though, the original or the remake?
I'm gonna go with the remake, just because I like seeing it in that perspective. And also because I never finished the original, whereas I finished the remake like 7 times.
I respect that. I think that's a fair shout. It was another one mentioned yesterday, but I'm a big fan of Slippery Climbing Crash Bandicoot, because I think it gets vastly underrepresented whenever you see people like reminiscing about their favorite like Crash 1 levels. It's always like the high road, the one with the bridge and the bits that fall and the turtles, or Heavy Machinery is like everyone's like go to, like, this is the hardest level in Crash Bandicoot. Slippery Climb is so cool. It's so difficult. It's one of those levels that, like, once you start doing it without dying, or you're only dying like once or twice when you do it, you're like, I feel like I understand this game now at that point. Like, it's so good. Like, it's so challenging. It's like probably like the peak of like the original game for me as like a challenge. I just think it's great.
Good shout. Can I take a moment to appreciate Ace's segues this entire podcast? They've been stellar.
Those are the real level.
Yeah.
Real levels in the podcast all along. For a second, you were saying that. I don't think I've ever played Crash Bandicoot all the way through, but from the name, I assumed Slippery Climb was an ice level, and I was going to berate you, but it doesn't appear to be an ice level.
It's you run sideways and then go up and then go right, but it's raining, hence slippery climb. But it doesn't, there's no like mechanics where you're slipping. It's the bloody PS1 ace, like they couldn't do that then.
Well, we did it in Crash Bandicoot 2.
Yeah, there's a bit more practice.
I didn't want anyone to say that an ice level was the best level of it. They're not. Ice levels are terrible.
Ooh. I mean, wow. I was going to choose a snowball level in Katamari, but remember there are better levels.
It's because it's got ice in it.
Hmm.
Two quick ones I want to throw out. Special shout out to Twilight Gap, the Crucible map in Destiny and Destiny 2, because not only is it a really good PvP map, but it's a PvP map that's tied into the lore and just really, like, everything about it just fits with the idea and the pillars of what makes Destiny Destiny. And it's also a really good, really well-designed PvP map. And also a bit of a random one. Basically the opening of any Platinum game. So first level of Vanquish, it's high octane action, and it's your heart is pumping as you're power jetting across the floor. You know, beginning of Bayonetta, the clock tower falling, and you're just fighting everyone there. And also the start of Astral Chain, where you make your character, you hit start, and then it just transitions to you being on a motorbike, and the game teaches you the basics of combat whilst riding a motorbike. I love you, Platinum.
Okay, that about brings us to the end of the episode. And thank you for joining me, Nikki, Winx, and Rhodes. And thank you for listening to this episode. Don't forget to check out GameGrin.com, where you find all of our writing. Keep an eye on social media and just search for GameGrin to find out whenever a new podcast goes live, as well as the daily news, reviews, articles, and everything else. Finally, if you subscribe via Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, I used to say iTunes, but I changed that to Apple Podcasts because they changed their name. Thank you. And if you can leave a review on your platform of choice, an even bigger thank you. And finally, game on.